Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Senator Gary Hart, who represented Colorado in the United States Senate from 1975 to 1987 and is currently president of Hart International Limited, the author of 14 books. He has taught at Yale, the University of California, and Oxford University, and served as co-chair of the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century, also known as the Hart-Rudman Commission, and on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Agencies, known as the Church Committee, that investigated the assassination of President John F. Kennedy that took place in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963, 50 years ago. Welcome to Background Briefing, Senator Gary Hart.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
And, Senator, you have been quoted in an article in the Huffington Post as suggesting that the American press somewhat dropped the ball on chasing down some leads on the assassination. I know there's been a cottage industry often referred to disparagingly as the grassy knoll syndrome in terms of conspiracy theories. And, of course, they tend to muddy the waters. But you're not satisfied with the official version.
Well, let me put it into context. 12 years after the assassination, the Senate created what came to be called the Church Committee after its chairman, Frank Church. And we had 11 members who, for 2 years, investigated the intelligence agencies, the U.S. government, not only the CIA, but the FBI, NSA, and others, first time in the history of the Congress. And during that 2-year investigation, we uncovered plots against foreign leaders under both Eisenhower and Kennedy administration, led principally by the CIA, and in the case of plots against Fidel Castro, the CIA employed 3 major U.S. mafia figures to help them try to get at Castro. And when we discovered this, which the Warren Commission did not know, during our investigation, we began to try to make contact with these mafia figures to ask them what they knew about these assassination plots, how they got involved, and what in the world was the U.S. government doing, employing them in questionable activities such as this. Well, in that process, 2 of them, men in their mid to late 70s, were killed, and those 2 deaths have never been solved. So it was the coincidence of plots to assassinate Castro, the involvement of the CIA, and the CIA employing the mafia during the Kennedy years that opened up all kinds of possibilities that the Warren Commission had not discussed or considered. And to my knowledge, the death of these 2 gentlemen, Sam Giancana in Chicago, Mr. Johnny Rosselli in Miami, first of all, the murders have never been solved. And second, the press did not pursue who might have had a motive to kill these rather elderly men during the period we were trying to talk to them about events in the 1960s.
And, of course, Sam Giancana was killed in the basement of his own home in Chicago with 6 bullet holes in his throat, with a Chicago police car and an FBI car outside his house just before he testified, or was about to testify before your committee, and Johnny Rosselli disappeared soon after testifying before your committee. So that in itself seems somewhat coincidental.
Well, beyond coincidental. But it was the story to which you're referring was just some ruminations on my part. I've always been amazed, given this cottage industry that you mentioned, that so little attention has been paid by the mainstream media to these 2 deaths, and who, the question being, who had the motive to kill these men at the time we were trying to talk to them, and might they have known that somebody, presumably the killer or killers, did not want them to tell us.
And Senator Gary Hart, you also spoke with William Robert Plumlee, a former CIA contract pilot, who told you apparently that he'd flown a plane to Texas just before the president's assassination and had later come to believe that some of the people on that plane were connected to the murder. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, this goes way back to just after the Select Committee, the Senate Select Committee investigations in 75, 76. And he, Mr. Plumlee, contacted my Colorado office and told staff members what he knew about this. And I ended up talking to him on several occasions. And then later, when John Kerry was in the Senate, in the 80s or 90s, he had an investigation of a subcommittee, and it was looking into some events, I think having to do with the Iran-Contra investigation, and Mr. Plumlee appeared on his radar screen, and I recommended that Senator Kerry's committee talk to him, and they ended up involving him in some of their hearings. But my recollection, going back these, 35 or more years, is that Mr. Plumlee told me that he had flown a plane. He had been a contract pilot for the CIA, and he had flown a plane, I think, November the 20th or 21st of 1963, from Texas, I believe, to Dallas. I mean, to from Florida, perhaps, to Dallas. And three or four people were in the plane, and he had identified them or believed that he knew who they were and that he thought they were there to having something to do with the Kennedy visit. And that's basically what I recall.
Well, wasn't one of those people that he identified as Johnny Rosselli, the fellow that ended up in the oil drum floating off the Florida coast?
I believe that was the case, yes, that he did not know his name, but he recognized his picture later on after Rosselli was killed and said that he thought one of the people in the plane that he had flown was Rosselli.
And you personally went down to Florida, did you not, to talk with the Dade County sheriffs about the mysterious death of Johnny Rosselli?
On behalf of the Select Committee, yes, I did, and saw the pictures that they showed me of very gruesome pictures of Mr. Rosselli when he was pulled from the water. He'd been killed a whole lot of different ways.
You mean tortured?
Well, I don't know how graphic one should be, but his arms and legs were sawed off, and he had been garroted, and he had been shot.
In broad terms, what you're telling us, Senator Hart, is that you didn't feel that all of these connections, the mafia, Cuban connections, were properly investigated. One of the things I find it curious about that is that President LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who succeeded President Kennedy, apparently he always believed that there was a Cuban connection. In fact, I think he went so far as to ruminate that he thought maybe Castro had something to do with it because Kennedy, through the CIA and apparently through using the mafia, had so zealously tried to kill Castro. So there was a sort of logic to that. Were you aware of that?
Well, yes. I've read the reports. I never had the opportunity to discuss it with President Johnson, obviously. But the quote that I recall that when he was finally briefed on all the things that were going on in the early 60s and before, said, "We've had a damn Murder Incorporated going on in the Caribbean," and by that he meant us. And he was referring to the plots to assassinate Castro. I've had occasion, more than one occasion, to discuss this question with President Castro of Cuba and ask him quite a lot of questions about this. Frankly, not because I thought he was involved, but because he had agents in Miami in the exiled Cuban community who also were the elements of the Cuban community in Miami were cooperating again with the CIA and the mafia in the efforts to overthrow Castro. So the full story down there is so intricate and so complicated that I'm not even sure President Johnson knew it all. But the main fact was that the Warren Commission knew none of this, and that's kind of startling in itself. And it's startling because the then director of the CIA, Alan Dulles, knew all of this and did not reveal this to the the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court or other members of the Warren Commission.
He was a member of the commission, was he not, Alan Dulles?
He was indeed.
And I guess he figured the rest of them didn't have a need to know.
That would be the polite way of saying it.
Right.
He didn't want them to know.
Right. So, Senator Hart, obviously there is a connection with the Cuban angle with Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, he was apparently an advocate for Cuba. In your investigations and the Church Committee investigations, because you have to admit it's an extraordinary coincidence that an American Marine should defect from the United States after apparently having guarded the secret U-2 program, show up in Russia, become a Russian citizen, but he married a Russian, and then eventually come back to the United States, which didn't happen very often. I don't know too many examples of people that made that particular journey, and ended up assassinating the President of the United States. I mean, I believe when it happened, the Russians were freaked out as well. But what's your explanation for the political motivations of, if they can be divined, of Lee Harvey Oswald?
I have no idea. And I must say, despite this conversation and a lifetime of experience, I'm not a conspiracist. And I haven't spent a lifetime exploring the assassination of John Kennedy. There are, as you know, libraries full of books and articles on all this, and I don't think we'll ever know the answer. Secondly, the Select Committee was not a committee to investigate the assassination of John Kennedy. That was not our principal purpose. It was only during the investigation of the CIA and other agencies that we came upon the assassination of foreign leader plots and the connection of the CIA and the mafia. So it was totally coincidental. And I can't really answer your question because I haven't spent my life thinking about this. The only unanswered question in my mind, it's not why did Oswald do it or who put him up to it. I want to know who killed Sam Giancana and who killed Johnny Rosselli and why.
Well, one of the explanations of a connection, for what it's worth, and again, I'm equally skeptical of conspiracy theories, and I don't think that spending one's life worrying about or wondering about who shot Bobby, who shot John, and who shot Martin is a particularly useful activity, given the challenges that we face today and on a daily basis. But there is obviously a lot of speculation about Jack Ruby being a member of the mob, right, from Chicago,
who moved down to Dallas. Together he was, from what I've read, minor member in the Dallas area.
Right. So that would lead people to wonder whether that there was a connection there, because clearly killing the main suspect there had a terrible effect on this investigation. I talked to a lot of senior people in the CIA who said when that happened, they all threw up their hands and said, we'll never know.
Yeah. I expect that's true.
Right. So Evan Thomas, a Newsweek reporter, wrote a book about the mandarins of the CIA, the founding members, the wise men, one of whom was Desmond Fitzgerald, whose daughter, Frances Fitzgerald, wrote the very prescient book about Vietnam, Fire in the Lake. In that chapter of the book by Evan Thomas, who I think is a fairly highly regarded journalist, he now teaches at Princeton, he said that Desmond Fitzgerald was approached by a member of the Cuban embassy in Paris, where Desmond Fitzgerald was the CIA station chief. And this fellow offered up his services to help the CIA kill Castro. And the CIA provided this man with various assassination tools, some of which have ended up in a museum in Havana, you know, the exploding cigars and all of these weird devices, etc. This fellow then, this colonel who was both in the Cuban intelligence service and they have also a part of their portfolio is the protection of Castro. He then apparently kept insisting to Fitzgerald, where are the orders coming from to assassinate Fidel Castro? And eventually Fitzgerald said they come from the very top. And this fellow then just went back to Cuba, ostensibly, as far as the CIA were concerned, to kill Castro. But then he turned out to be what is known in the intelligence trade as a dangle, who in fact was working for Castro all along. And that is how all these assassination tools have ended up in that museum that they have in Havana. Is that a story that's come up on your radar?
I think it's pretty well established. Again, not based on anything the church committee did, but various accounts that I've read on the Fitzgerald story indicate that that was part of what was going on. It was a mess. I mean, there was more stuff going on than you can possibly imagine. And our committee was not authorized to conduct a full-scale, holds-barred investigation of the assassination of John Kennedy. We just wandered into this sideways through the Cuban connection, that was all.
Well, what was interesting about this particular story is that this apparently, according again to Evan Thomas, this same Cuban colonel with their intelligence service ended up meeting with Lee Harvey Oswald in Mexico when he went down there prior to the assassination of President Kennedy. And the assumption is, and I don't know whether this is, again, verifiable, is that Oswald was a sort of deluded American Marxist who went to Russia thinking it was a workers' paradise, and anybody that spent any time in Russia is quickly disabused of that. And apparently he was quite despondent about the idea of this sort of the reality of this, what he thought would be a Marxist paradise. And he came back to the United States, as we know, and then he was attracted to Castro's form of revolutionary communism because it was more authentic. Is that something that we can surmise, do you think?
I have no idea. Uh-huh. I really don't. Right. I've never pursued any of this stuff.
Right, right. Well,
I have no opinion about it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go down the path of the grassy knoll here, but it is, of course, a great tragedy. I don't know whether you saw the recent documentary that was, I think HBO had been putting it out of Showtime, about the assassination that indicates, for example, that President Kennedy was thinking about ending the Vietnam War. Is that something that you think there's some evidence on that? There were some memos cited in the documentary, National Security Council minutes, etc.
All I know is, again, what I've read, mm-hmm. and I don't think it figures in the assassination whatsoever.
No.
There was a great deal of documentation that President Kennedy was going to wind down the U.S. military presence in Vietnam.
And that's just one of many of the agonizing speculations one can go through in terms of what if, had he lived, where
yes,
the United
indeed.
States would be today. And I guess the same applies to his brother, Bobby, as well.
Yes.
So how do we as a nation get over this? There's so much paralysis from this sense of martyrdom on the left. You know, I don't believe that, you know, we live in a country where the right wing is quite active. A very far fringe of the right wing, the so-called Tea Party, have dominated our politics of late, not necessarily for the better. But I don't see that similar activism on the left. Is there a connection there between this sense of that we expect to lose, those on the left?
I don't know. I hadn't frankly thought much about it. One could argue, and I've heard it argued, that the so-called Occupy movement of the last year or two was roughly the equivalent of the Tea Party, but it certainly hasn't had its impact on the Democratic Party the same way the Tea Party has on the right.
So, but you don't think there's a legacy from the Kennedy assassination that Americans who believed in both Bobby and Jack Kennedy and the direction they're taking their nation, is that somehow in America you can't go in that direction?
That there are
these conspiratorial forces that exist?
Yep. I think that's wrong.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Senator Gary Hart, who represented Colorado in the United States Senate from 1975 to 1987 and is currently president of Hart International Limited. The author of 14 books, he has taught at Yale, at the University of California, and Oxford University, and served as co-chair of the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century, also known as the Hart-Rudman Commission, and on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Agencies, known as the Church Committee, that investigated the assassination of President John F. Kennedy that took place in Dallas on November 22, 1963, 50 years ago. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back with the first person to deliver the first eyewitness account of President Kennedy's assassination.